You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the gentle, fast-acting laxative of the podcast world. Don't you feel better already?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh my goodness.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
There you go. Well, it's Thursday. I have no idea why or what that means, but it is Thursday. Hey, I bet if I asked you what color are your walls, you could tell me now immediately. Don't tell me that I'm bored and have nothing to do. Yesterday, I watched paint dry. 1 hour and 13 minutes. I am really, really practicing social distancing. I actually keep a good distance away from myself. All right, there's nothing funny about this. Come on. I don't want to talk about it, man. I want you to have a place to go where they don't talk about it. But if they do, it's not like crazy. You know what I'm saying? All right, fine. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. This is what I do. This makes you feel good about yourself, certainly, when you realize that there are people that do this. That's how they make a living. That's pathetic. Now do you feel better about yourself? You bet you do. Well, yeah, it is Thursday. It's like 1 or 2 days away from the weekend. I don't even know how many anymore. Really, every day seems to be the same to me. I don't understand it. Anyway, I think people are. You remember the baby boom? You don't remember. You're a millennial. You don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, when the soldiers came back from World War II, our fine veterans, thank you for your service, by the way, when they came home, they banged their women, and that was pretty, I mean, I don't know how to put it more tastefully than that. I guess there are more tasteful ways of saying it, but that's pretty much what happened. By the way, kids, go somewhere. Go play with your little laptop or something, or whatever it is you kids play with. You kids, go play with your laptop, whatever it is you kids play with, go play with it. This is for adults, pretty much. I don't even know why I'm doing here, what I'm doing here if it's for adults. Anyway, the soldiers came home and they banged their women. I mean, and vice versa. You know, it goes both ways. Goes both ways, has to. Anyway, I believe that because people are stuck at home, most people are practicing the social distancing by not being near anybody. Your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, upon examination, you're probably doing the nasty with them. I don't know what else there is to do. So you're probably doing that. These are going to result in babies about 9 months down the line. Now, if I had prepared the show, I would tell you what month all these babies will be born, but I don't. A, I don't prepare that much. B, I can't count anything plus nine. I'm looking at December. I'm looking at the turn of the year to have these babies all over the place. And it's going to be called the new generation. and I don't want to name it, so let's just leave it alone. But I believe that's going to happen because literally, I mean, what else? Yeah. You know what the safest thing to do? I'm sorry. Again, kids, please leave the room. This is not for children. Adults, leave the room. This is not for adults. Normal people, leave the room. This is not for normal people. The safest, there are actually, if you go online, and you shouldn't, but if you do, you will find many, many websites that say that even married couples should not be having sex right now. That's a little presumptuous. I don't know if it's because of the thing going on or because it's kind of, they're not attractive right now. I don't know what it is. But you shouldn't do that because this thing is transmitted through kissing, especially through kissing. So if you're going to have the SEX, they're saying cut out the foreplay. I'm raising my hand. I'm good. You know, I enjoy that sometimes, but sometimes not necessary. Just not necessary. Why are we wasting time here? So, yeah, cut out the foreplay. Now, on top of it, by the way, the bodily fluids that are transmitted are not through that area. They're through the mouth. They're spit and things like that. Down there, down below deck there in the galley, not the case. That's what they say. Things can change. They always do. Here's the best deal of all. Yourself. You can't give yourself something. Either you have it or you don't. You can't give it to yourself. So what's the best solution to having sex? I think I answered the question. If you can't put two and two together, then I don't know what to tell you. And for that, you don't even necessarily have to wear gloves. So that is optimal. So let's get it, baby. When this show is over, because I have a very sexy voice, this should be helping you somewhat. At the end of the program, I will recite, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, about three or four times, and that should do it for you. And it's at the very end of the program, after the closing theme music and everything, that's the time when you can get it on by me just saying with my sexy, voluptuous voice, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby. I could do my Barry White impression, but I don't like to do other people. So that's at the end of the show. Satisfaction guaranteed. Well, not really. It's guaranteed. But if it doesn't work out, it's not my fault. It's got to be yours. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'm done, but I'm not because there's more show left. I have a guest coming on a little bit later in the program. And that should be wonderful for you. For you, pretty much. For me, not so much. Not so much at all.
We asked Ron Van Dam, what's your best advice for people who've just listened to this show for the first time?
Don't discuss it with other people. It's stupid. It's pathetic. It's an embarrassment from hell.
Oh, okay. That was not what I was expecting. Do you need a hug, Ron? Come here, big fella. It's gonna be okay. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Here's something interesting. I live in the Boston area. I'm not bragging. I'm not proud of it. It just happens to be where I live. And as you know, it's a very, very big sports city. It's almost annoyingly big. People go around here thinking that sports are the ultimate in their life. And seriously. They get angry at sports. They get involved in sports. They watch sports talk programs. It's not watching this. It's like talking about it, and they get involved and they get very passionate about their discussion about sports. I mean, in the dictionary, if you look up Get a Life, the word sports is in it. So Tom Brady, whom I guess everybody knows, even the millennials, even the Generation X's, very popular football player, probably the most popular right now. He's been the quarterback for the New England Patriots for 20 years. 20 freaking years. Wow. That's an incredible attention span. He announced that he was going to be a free agent. I don't know what the hell that means because I'm not into sports, but I think it means he can go anywhere he wants, which right now I can't do. So anyway, so he decided to leave the New England Patriots and go to what I believe is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought that was a Disney movie, but apparently it's a football team. And he's going to be the quarterback there, I think, or maybe he's going to be something else. I don't know, but he's leaving New England and he's out of it. And the sports, and then he said, thank you to my sports fans for 20 years of love and compassion. I brought my kids up in New England, a wonderful place, but I'm getting the hell out of here. No, he didn't say, but I'm getting the hell out of here, but that was inferred. That was inferred. And the fans are just loving Tom Brady more than ever. They go, oh my God, Tom, it's been so wonderful. It's been a wonderful 20 years. It's been fantastic. It's been wonderful. I say bullshit. I say you should be mad at him. He's abandoning you. What's wrong with you? He's leaving you out and dry. You're so into this stuff. He's hurting you. He's leaving you for another team. He's cheating on you. He went where the money is. He was successful in New England, had a bad year, and said, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. Pussy. He's over 40 years old, I believe. He should be like a sportscaster or working the night shift at McDonald's. I mean, you're done at 40 in football. You don't go to another team. What the hell's wrong with you? Didn't you read the rule book? But the New England fans, oh, Tom, you're still the greatest. We're going to miss you. Crapola, you Benedict Arnold, you fleeing little pussy. Are you? You're not angry? You're not pissed at him? You have no football team left. Everybody's leaving. They're going to suck for the rest of your born life. Days, life, whatever the phrase is. I'm not big on phrases. If I don't use the phrase, then why should I know what it means? Tom threw you to the wolves and under the bus. He's got the wolves under the bus. I know that phrase. And yet you're loving Tom Brady. You should be taking his football jersey and burning it in effigy. Effigy is a small town outside of Boston. Effigy, Massachusetts. He should burn in hell. You don't leave your team for somebody else. People say, Ron, that's football. I don't even know what that means. What are you talking about? It's not football. It's somebody leaving you. And what a horrible time to do it as well. Not leaving New England, but moving. Moving for Tom Brady is a terrible time to move. Terrible time to move. Oh, don't do anything now. Don't make decisions. This is a horrible time to make decisions. Don't ever make decisions, financial decisions, now. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So I don't understand New England. I don't understand why they're so loving. They should be pissed at him. They should be throwing rocks at the guy. Now, I don't condone violence at all. I really don't. Apparently you do in movies, but I don't even condone it there. Condone, approve of it, depending on your level of education, means same thing. I'm trying to make this an educational show as well. You learn what the words mean. So I don't get you. I don't get you. I don't think I understand people. Well, I know I don't understand people. That's a given. That's a given. A lot of people are saying to me, Ron, you seem to be a curmudgeon. Oh, wow. Where'd you learn that word? Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Using your words. Nice. Good job. Good job. Do you have a junk drawer in your house, in your apartment, a junk drawer where you just throw things in there from years and years ago? And they're in the back of the drawer, and the junk drawer is full of stuff, so you don't know what's in it because you can't see everything in the drawer. All you can see is the front and the top layer. You don't know what's behind that stuff. It's been there forever, probably before you were born. It's the junk drawer. And I really feel that you don't just have one junk drawer. You have many junk drawers, up to three or four, in many different rooms in your apartment or abode. The junk drawer. It's where we go to throw things into obscurity, but yet not get rid of them. This is a good time to go through your junk drawers. Not because you're going to clean them out. You know you're not. You could. That would be nice, but that's not the purpose. You discover things. It's like going on a treasure hunt. I swear it is. You find things in that junk drawer that you didn't know even existed in our society. Things you haven't seen for years and years, and you'll say to yourself, oh my God. Either you'll say, oh my God, I can't believe I still have this, or oh my God, what does this do? You completely forgot what you bought it for. Somebody bought it, didn't walk into the house by itself. You purchased it and you put it in there. It's a treasure trove of discovery. You'll end up playing with half the stuff in the junk drawer. Oh my God, I didn't have this. I remember this. Oh my God, I remember. I remember this thing. And what's the first thing you do when you find something in a junk drawer? You go try to find the batteries. Oh, I wonder if it still works. That's what you say. I wonder if it still works. And you find some battery. Also, always have plenty of batteries in the house, not only because of a power outage. It's just that someday you're going to need a battery, and you're going to say, I can't go out and get batteries. That's ridiculous. So have a good supply of batteries. And batteries go bad, by the way. If you've had a supply of batteries for 5 years, you may be surprised what you find. So you say, oh, I wonder if this thing still works. And you get some fresh batteries and you put it in the damn thing. And obviously it doesn't work. But when it does, an entire world has opened up like Jumanji. Now, I saw the movie Jumanji. I don't know what that means. I saw the movie. I don't know what a Jumanji is. I don't know if it was somebody's name. I wasn't paying attention. I think I fell asleep. But there's a Jumanji. I believe it's the proper reference. I'm not sure. If it's not, I apologize. Let's not make a big deal out of it like I am. Junk drawers, man. Fantastic. Who knew? I did. I knew. I told you about it. I knew it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's stuff to do. I'm doing a lot of knee bends. I don't know why. Doing knee bends. Here's what I do. I go down to the kitchen and I lean against one of the counters. We all have kitchen counters. We all do. Unless you live in a box. In which case, I don't think you're listening to this. You have a kitchen counter no matter where you are. Lean on it. A song. Remember that song? Lean on it. When you're not, okay, all right, I can't sing, quite obviously. Lean on the kitchen counter and take your elbows and do push-ups against the kitchen counter, standing up. You don't have to get down on the floor to do push-ups. That's passé. That's too much. Flex your elbows by leaning into the counter and pushing away and into the counter and pushing away. And turn some music on, man, and do it for 3 minutes. You'll get into it. That's exercise. It's called moving your body. Okay, next, hold on to the counter with your hands and do some knee bends. Bend down as far as you can. I know not all of you can do this easily, but do what you can a little bit more every day. Get those knees flexible. It's good for your bones. Now, if they start cracking, then you know, beg off. Just beg off. But keep your body flexible. It's good for your energy, your immune system. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. Anything that boosts your immune system now, gold. It's gold. It is gold. I'm taking vitamin C because it says right on the bottle, strengthens immune system. Okay. It says it on the bottle. I'm doing it. Couldn't hurt. I think people take vitamins. I think it's in fruits and vegetables and things, from what I heard. So I'm taking vitamin C little tablets there. I take 1,000 milligrams a day. I don't know if that's too much. We'll find out. We'll see. We'll find out. We'll see. Oh, man. I'm telling you, what a life we're living here. That's why I want you to come here every single weekday. That's Monday through Friday. Those are the weekdays, by the way. I want to serve some educational purposes to the kids that aren't in school. But kids should not be listening to this because I don't know where I'm going to go. Come here every day, will you? Any time of day, it doesn't matter. These things are posted every single weekday. Make me a habit. Now, I'm not saying you should go out and buy material and actually sew me one of those religious garb habit things. Not that kind of habit. Make it a part of your day, because we can interact and not even talk and not touch. And this is exactly what the doctor ordered. I wish the doctor would order some other things, but I'm not talking to my doctor right now. My doctor is pissing me off. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. My doctor's on my ass about my health. There's nothing wrong with me that I can see, but my doctor claims that if I don't do what my doctor says, then I'll be in trouble. That's a threat. That's stalking me. That's medically stalking me. And I'm almost getting the feeling that that's like for payment reasons. I don't know. Like, Ron, I want you to come to the doctor a lot. Hey, I'm not going out in public at all, okay? No public appearances. Let's make believe we're all celebrities, okay? We're all big-time people. We're all famous. We're all big-time celebrities. And we're sitting back and we're saying, you know, for a month or so, I'm not going to be making any public appearances. You cocky son of a bitch. Yeah, I've decided not to make any personal public appearances. So I'm just going to be sexually satisfying myself for most of the day. I'm taking some time off. I need to rest, and I've worked so hard, so I'm not getting paid or anything, so I'm floundering like a flounder financially, but I'm not making any public appearances right now. And contact my agent, if you will, and we'll take care of that. You gotta role play. That's what you gotta. You gotta role play stuff. Yeah, you gotta role play. All right, our guest is right around the corner. She's an author, and she's hooked up with a very famous entity in kids' books. Yeah, don't let the kids in the room still, but she'll talk to the parents about this thing. We'll be right back after this.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Hello, Trudy. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Trudy Truitt joins us. She's a gifted storyteller, and she's an author. She's written more than 100 books. Holy crap, Trudy. That's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. You must just, like, totally do this every minute of the day. Okay.
Yeah, kind of. Pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay. You're involved here with National Geographic Kids. We've talked to that entity many times before. A fantastic, mm-hmm. well-regarded situation there. How did you hook up with them?
National Geographic. They came to me and said they had an idea to do Explorer Academy. And basically they wanted it to be based on what the real National Geographic explorers do. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Then they said, okay, Trudy, go ahead and run with it. And so fortunately I got the opportunity to do what I do, which is research nonfiction, which I love to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, marry that with fiction, which I also love to write, and create an adventure where kids travel around the world and they learn about some of the issues that we face globally, as well as also just have a great adventure.
Yeah.
Where they do code breaking and puzzle solving and, yeah, you know, and just, you know, be able to explore the world and see the world.
It's interesting. This form of writing is very interesting because it mixes real facts and also... Mm-hmm. Also fiction. So in other words, so it's set up in a situation that is totally true. Everything's there, but yet we're putting ourselves in that situation. It's a fascinating way of doing things.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I want to call it science fiction because it's science and fiction, but then that gives another different connotation to it. But it really is, you know, I look for interesting stories from the real National Geographic explorers, and they are an amazing group of people.
Yeah.
So it isn't hard to find, you know, issues that they face or missions that they go on, things that they do to make a difference in the world.
Yeah,
and then I've kind of combined that with, mm-hmm, you know, what I think is a good action adventure story. So, you know, yes, it's fiction, but it's also, you know, people doing real things in the real world too, yeah, and learning about things like habitat loss and, yeah, you know, species extinction. And ironically, the book that is coming out today, mm-hmm, deals with diseases.
Ironically.
and how we pass diseases to animals and, yeah, how animals pass diseases to us,
yeah,
which I could not have known when I was researching this about a year and a half ago,
yeah,
but very timely topic. And the kids begin to understand that, you know, we're all interconnected, and that in this particular story, it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
They learn that the common cold can be, you know, very harmful and, in fact, fatal to, mm-hmm, primates and gorillas. And,
right,
so that their adventure, they set out to try and help them. But, you know, it's an interesting twist of fate there.
Yeah, you never know when that twist of fate is gonna hit.
No,
But these are educational times. When things happen, this is when you learn things. And
right,
and for children, right, under these circumstances, because they don't understand the world as it is sometimes, this is neither do adults, to be honest with you. But this is a great time to learn and to help understand. How many series have you written so far? Is this the first one?
So this is, I've actually done a couple of series. I did a series for younger readers for Simon and Schuster called Secrets of a Lab Rat. So I've done a couple of different things.
Oh, I know that one. I remember that one.
Oh, do you?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
So this is my first, we're going to do about 7 books in this series. So it's a little bit longer. We're about halfway through now.
Wow.
And I'm actually in the middle of writing the last book now, which is going to be heartbreaking to have to leave this series because I'm really having a great time writing it.
Yeah. Also, now is it the same character or do they vary from episode to episode?
So in the series, we pretty much follow the same character.
Uh-huh.
His name is Cruz because part of the adventure too is that he is looking for a formula that his mother left behind. So she died in a very mysterious lab accident and villains were out to get her. And so,
uh-huh,
she engraved the formula into stone and then split it into pieces and hid the stone around the world in different places for her son to find. So part of the adventure is he has to find these pieces and try and thwart the villains at the same time, a vicious pharmaceutical company. And so it is all about following him. But I try and highlight one of his friends and one theme sort of in each book so that other characters can stand out too. But it's really following this one character as he travels the world.
Trudy, what's the target age group?
Target age group is 8 to 12. So we try to hit that middle grade area, which I love to write for. And when I was that age, I was just, you know, reading as much as I could.
Yeah.
And I love that readers in the 4th, 5th, 6th grade, those times are really when kids really absorb a lot. And they also are thinking about what they want to do when they grow up
and
you know, how they can make a difference in the world. And that's wonderful. I've been traveling, I've been going with National Geographic Explorers. Occasionally, they will come with me and talk to the kids. And it's interesting because most of them, if not all, I think almost every one of them has said that they found their passion as kids, that they found something that they loved to do as kids and found a way to, you know, follow that as adults. Yeah. So if we think about it that way, that, you know, kids are opening up and seeing the world when they're 9, 10, 11, exposing them to different things can, you know, maybe strike a chord with them that they might want to do that as a career.
You know why it's a very interesting age is because kids, books are introduced to them through their parents. Their parents read to them, and they they prefer it that way. Then when they hit this age that you're talking about, they start reading on their own. And that becomes so crucial because now they're really embarking on these adventures by themselves. I know that, you know, you hear a story, you read a story, but when you read it, it's you and the book. Your parents aren't involved, and it's more of a personal thing. So it's great that they have material like this to absorb themselves in, because this is like a
because you know the books that really speak to you are those that you find yourself in. Sometimes you can lose yourself in a book that's, you know, a character is completely different from you, but the ones that really stay with you are the ones where you recognize yourself somewhere in that character. In one of those characters, you say, I have this fear, or I have this passion, or I have this something within me that connects to that character that says that they have found that sweet spot in me
Very cool.
And those are the books you go back to again and again.
It is, and you remember them the rest of your life. When you think of your childhood, you think of these books. That's the connection. Your last name is a consequential that Truett, that now you're writing National Geographic based on true situations, or is that
just
actually
like,
your name?
Okay. Just like, it is really my name, Trudy Truett.
Okay.
I married a wonderful man named Bill Truett, and so yes.
Did you marry him for his name? I mean, I guess there are other reasons too, but.
Well, you know, I'd like to think there were other reasons. Love being one of them.
Yeah, okay, well, that's cool too.
Yeah,
it kind of fits. It rhymes with everything. It's really a pretty cool name.
It just sort of happened, you know. Yeah, we were married long before I started writing children's books, so.
Was it the reason that you, okay.
Maybe, I don't know, something subconsciously, possibly.
This is probably more than the interview called for, but anyway.
We're getting deep and philosophical
now. Is not good. Okay, Trudy, again, the name of the series and the book that's being released.
It's Explorer Academy, and this is going to be book 4 in the series called The Star Dunes.
Okay, and it's available everywhere, online certainly.
It is. It's available everywhere, and, you know, it's a great opportunity to, if you have an independent, local independent bookstore that you can either buy from online or via phone, it's a great opportunity to help support your local independent bookstore, especially now.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's Trudy Truett. Look her up there online and follow her, and thank you so much. Good talking to you, and continued success.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. That will do it for me today. You have really been so great during this time period of a half an hour plus. You have been really, I haven't heard you say a word, not a word. You may have been screaming and yelling at me, but I can't hear you. So you've been good as far as I'm concerned. Keep it up, man. Keep a stable head and a focus, and let's put a little smile on our face when we're together. Ooh, this sounds like Romper Room all of a sudden, doesn't it? That's not my intent, not at all. Have yourselves a wonderful day. At the end of this music, which is coming up almost now, I'm going to do my Oh Baby. Get ready. Oh Baby, Oh Baby. Oh Baby, Oh Baby. Oh Baby. Baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby.
It was unbelievably painful.
Whatever.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.